Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, happy Halloween. Hope you're okay on Friday, October 31st. Thank you for downloading today's podcast. Coming up today, are people in Kent suffering buyer's remorse? 6 months into Reform UK's leadership at Kent County Council, the Health Minister makes a visit to Kent, and we'll chat to the Chatham Town Manager as they prepare to play in their first FA Cup fixture in 97 years. But first, taking a look at our top story today, a grieving woman from Kings Hill says she's been fined for fly tipping after leaving bags of her late husband's clothes at a donation bin. The Salvation Army collection point at Sophie Scott's local Asda car park was full, so she left two bags on the ground. She was approached by a warden who said it's an offence and fined her £300. Our reporter Ellie Hodgson has been speaking to Sophie.
I drove into the car park. I had two dustbin liners full of my late husband's clothes and some of my children's clothes, and I brought them to the bins, which were completely full. And I left them neatly on the ground with lots of others. And as I drove away, a warden told me to slow down and said, or asked, had I left these bags here? And I said, yes, they're for charity, I've been donating. And he reeled me off a long list of do's and don'ts, and then said that he was going to fine me for fly tipping, and it would be £300. I was very distressed because I'm about to have the funeral for my husband, who passed away very recently. So it's been an incredibly difficult time. And I was visibly very, very upset and told him that my mind was elsewhere. I hadn't seen any sign. I would never fly tip. I'm incredibly upset. And he did absolutely nothing. He just said he was filming me and that I needed to take it up with the council. I simply can't afford a £300 fine. I have one income now. I've lived here for 18 years, I'm very law-abiding, and the fact that he said he was filming me straight away, I felt very harassed. He was very unsympathetic, and he made me feel like a criminal. Since this has happened, there's been hundreds of people in the area coming forward saying that very similar things have happened to them, and it's often women who might feel a bit more vulnerable. And what's really awful is that this particular gentleman does hide behind trees and in bushes and waits for you to do something wrong and then literally appears. And that's just not right. So we're all for not littering, we're all for not fly tipping, but this is neither, and they're just trying to make a quick buck, I think.
What would be the ideal outcome for you at this stage in terms of dealing with this situation?
That the fine be ripped up, I have an apology, and this person is removed and this company are removed, and Asda and the car park is just back to the way it was, which is, it's a family store. We never ever had trouble like this before. I don't know where this person's come from or why he's here, but I hope the council remove it immediately.
Tunbridge and Morley Council say that while they understand the incident occurred at a difficult time, the fine was issued in line with their policy.
Kent Online News.
Police investigating reports of a person carrying out an indecent act in Chatham have released a computer-generated image of a suspect. A woman's told officers it happened in Roosevelt Avenue at around 6 in the morning last Wednesday. He's been described as being in his mid-30s and was wearing a black hat with grey fur. Investigations are underway following reports of racist abuse during a row involving two drivers in Tunbridge Wells. Police were called to an area near Lime Hill Road earlier this month and spoke to a woman in her 20s and a man in his 40s. We're told children were passengers in the vehicles at the time. Officers want to hear from any witnesses. A Dover man who attacked his mum and ex-girlfriend has been back in court after being caught driving while disqualified. Jordan Lamoon was out of jail on licence when he was stopped by police behind the wheel of a Volkswagen Golf in Folkestone. The 25-year-old from Bindon Blood Road was fined £120 and had another 6 points put on his licence. Six men have been jailed for a series of thefts and violent offences across Kent. They were part of a gang who stole more than £300,000 worth of vehicles and golf equipment from areas including Ashford, Ramsgate and Raynham. Some of the victims were threatened or attacked. The group's been locked up for a total of more than 36 years.
Kent Online News.
Flags have been draped over Herne Bay Clock Tower during an anti anti-immigration protest. A counter demonstration was also held in the town yesterday evening, with a line of around 50 police officers separating the two groups. They managed to stop an attempt to start a fire in the road. Crews have been called to tackle a blaze which closed the M20 between Ashford and Maidstone. A vehicle caught alight near Lenham yesterday evening. No one was hurt and the motorway is reopened following a clear-up. Elsewhere, firefighters have managed to put out a blaze caused by an unattended bonfire in Sevenoaks. Crews were called to Ashen Grove in Nats Valley at around 4 yesterday afternoon. A smoke warning that was issued to residents has now been lifted. A school between Canterbury and Folkestone has been branded inadequate following a report by Ofsted. Inspectors say children at Ellen Preschool did not experience an ambitious or focused curriculum and that there was no SEND coordinator. It's been threatened with enforcement action if no immediate steps are taken for improvement. The school says they are disappointed with the report and are working with the local authority to fix the situation. Ramsgate Town Centre has been named as the most deprived part of Kent, according to new government data. More than 70 neighbourhoods in the county fall inside the top 10% in England. That's up from just 51 in 2019. The list is based on things like income, employment, education, health and crime.
Kent Online News.
The Health Minister has been in Kent to officially name a new multi-million pound surgical centre at Maidstone Hospital. The facility has three state-of-the-art operating theatres and 24 beds and has cared for 3,500 people since opening last year. Karen Smith says staff are doing amazing work to tackle a backlog in appointments.
I wanted to come here today to officially open this fantastic centre, but really to hear from the staff here and the leaders about what they're trying to do. They've done amazing work getting down those extra long waiters down to zero. They've got more work to do, they know that, in getting down these waiting lists. We know how challenging that is across Kent and Medway. But this unit, and more across the country like it, are fundamental to shifting those waiting lists. Really good for staff, they work in good facilities, much more efficient use of their time, but crucially, really important for patients. And I've spoken to patients here today. They know when they're coming in, there are less cancellations, they can be certain about what's going to happen to them, when it's going to happen. They get seen on the day, they get x-rayed on the day to see if there's any complications, so no coming back unnecessarily, and they can get home into rehab, back at home, back on their feet with their families. It's fantastic to see.
A care home in Chatham has once again been rated inadequate after inspectors identified widespread failings. Ruth Lodge provides residential care for two people who have complex learning disabilities and autism. The Care Quality Commission visited last month to see where improvements suggested last year have been acted on. They've kept the site in special measures. The new owner of a landmark building in Sheerness has agreed to clean up and secure the site. There have been concerns about the state of the water tower on Trinity Road after it fell into disrepair and became a target for antisocial behaviour. It's now been sold. The council have ordered improvements to be carried out by January 8th. Bosses of Britain's oldest brewery in Faversham have backed house building on its land. Shep and Neame owns green space on the edge of Ospringe, which is being eyed up by developers. They say the 85-home estate would provide much-needed housing to the area, with just under half being affordable. Now, it's been 6 months since Reform UK won control of Kent County Council following the local elections. Their leadership in Kent was meant to act as a shop window for Reform to demonstrate what they could do in positions of power. It's been a challenging start, particularly in the last few weeks, with several party members suspended over a leaked video and calls for leader Lyndon Kemp-Caron to step down. Local Democracy reporter Ollie Leader has been chatting to Reform UK voters in Maidstone and Sheerness to see what they think.
What do you make of Reform at KCC? Did you vote for them at the local elections?
Actually, I did vote for them at the local elections and that, so I thought we needed something different than that, definitely, from what we've had, and that, so that's why I thought. But now I'm not 100% certain sort of what they've done, to be honest with you.
Are you getting a bit of buyer's remorse?
A little bit, yes, but I don't think the other two parties sort of like did anything that sort of, you know, to be proud of and that.
Did you vote for them back?
Yes, I voted for them, yes.
Lots of people probably seen the video circulating of the leader clashing with her backbenchers. Do you think that people think Reform are doing a good job at the moment?
We can't really tell, can we? I mean, unless for them arguing, I can't see that's anything to worry about, really, because, I mean, we all get a bit hot under collar at times, don't we?
It's very bad taste. That's all I think. I think they should know better. You know, there's other ways of going about these things without having to swear and carry on.
Which way did you vote?
I voted for reform, but I'm sorry.
You're not a fan of what they got up to then?
Not terribly, no.
Would you say you also got a case of buyer's remorse?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Why is that? What's gone wrong?
They can't seem to run a council, let alone a country. Just their meetings in the council chamber is terrible. They can't agree on anything.
Personally, I think it's just miscommunication. I think they all just need to sit down and air their views, get it all out. And hopefully there can be improvements later down the line.
Doesn't worry you too much at this stage then?
Not at this stage, but say improvements do need to be made.
Kent Online News.
As we're getting ready to celebrate the spookiest day of the year, a local historian has been chatting to us about the real events behind the ghost stories of a Kent village. Pluckley's ghostly reputation has seen it dubbed England's most haunted. Nicola's been speaking to Ed Adams.
It all started really in the 1920s. There was a man or a boy really living there from 1919 called Frederick Sanders, and he grew up in Pluckley. He had his adolescence there, and he was a great collector of folklore and stories and all these country customs, which included ghost stories. And he was told many by his grandparents who lived in Pluckley. He was told some by his teacher at the village school in Pluckley. And later on, he went into journalism in a small way. He was sort of a hobbyist, and he sent the odd article off to papers like the Kent Messenger and other local papers, and they would publish ghost stories, many of which were set in Pluckley. And then in 1950, he collated a list together of 10 ghost stories that came from Pluckley. And this was December 1950, and that was the point when he first said Pluckley is the most haunted village in England, as it then was. It's since been claimed to be the most haunted village in Britain or Europe or the world, but England was the first claim.
So he is to blame, really, because I'm sure a lot of people in Pluckley get yeah. quite well. I mean, do they like that title, or is it quite annoying at this time of year when a lot of people come and visit what is a very small part of Kent?
It's a bit of a double-edged sword. I mean, historically, there have been some unfortunate incidents at Halloween, some antisocial behaviour, and that really reached its low point in the late 80s, early 90s. But there has been a police presence since then, and they've managed to sort of quell that sort of trouble. I think the majority of people in Pluckley, and I'm not one of them, but I think most of them, they don't mind people having fun at all. Sometimes the crowds are a little bit difficult to cope with, but as long as people are respectful of people's privacy and their property, then I think it's all fairly harmless fun.
And going back to these ghost stories, Ed, we all love a good ghost story, don't we? Particularly at this time of year, do you think any of them are true?
The really interesting thing that I've been able to ascertain through my research is that of the original dozen or so ghost stories, most of them actually do have their basis in real, verifiable historical events. So, for example, ghosts like the Watercress Woman. I don't know if you know that story. A lady who sold watercress and accidentally set fire to herself from the embers of her pipe. Amazingly, that did actually happen in 1911. A really horrible incident, but it did happen, and this watercress seller did die in that manner. Similarly, the Screaming Man of the Brickworks, if you know that story, a man smothered in a collapse of clay that he was digging out at the old Pluckley Brickworks. Again, that did also happen in 1899 this time. And you can work your way through the stories and find the historical parallels, and you can effectively tell the history of Pluckley through its ghost stories.
And tell us, I believe there's one connected with plans for the M20 back in the day. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Tell me about that.
That's right. Well, the interesting thing comes in the 1970s. Around the year 1973, Pluckley is really a parish under threat from many different directions. They were planning the motorway at the time, which we now know as the M20, and there was a plan. One of the routes suggested was that the motorway would cut straight through the parish of Pluckley itself, so south of the village centre but north of the railway line. It would have effectively cleaved it in two. They were also planning the Channel Tunnel and the high-speed rail link. and there was a suggestion as well that that would go through Pluckley. The Deering Woods, now known as the Screaming Woods, this ancient woodland, if you can believe it, there was a plan to completely level all that, to grub it all out, and to build a new town there, which would link up with the new rail link as a sort of gateway to Europe, which was a buzzword in 1973. And people were also generally concerned about unchecked development and things like that. So what happens in 1973 is that a group of people who were young and upwardly mobile, young families, newly married, and crucially also worked in the media and PR, they took exception to these threats. They felt that the parish council wasn't doing enough to combat them, and they formed their own pressure group called the Pluckley Association. And because they were in the media, they started putting out stories about what made Pluckley unique and about its heritage and about its folklore and these things, just trying to draw attention to the village and make people appreciate what could potentially be lost if the developers had their way.
So possibly then these ghost stories have saved Pluckley in the past from huge development. Would you say that was fair?
There's probably something in that. Yes, it could well be. I mean, there has been some development since, but it's been relatively on a relatively small scale. And yes, it's quite possible that the efforts these people made have helped to appreciate that Pluckley is a very old place with a lot of very old folklore and some interesting stories.
You can read more of the details by clicking on the story at Kent Online. A statue of a wise healer woman has been included in a new sculpture that's being unveiled in part of Maidstone. They were often mistaken as witches, and the local council's campaigning for those who were executed to be pardoned. The artwork called The Meeting Point can be seen in Pennenden Heath. A date's been announced for the Maidstone Christmas Light Switch On. KMFM will be hosting the event in Jubilee Square on November 20th. A world-famous endangered pygmy hippo has arrived at her new home in Kent. Haggis is settling in at Wingham Wildlife Park after moving from Edinburgh Zoo as part of a breeding program. And tickets are on sale today to see Tom Grennan at Dreamland in Margate. He's kicking off his UK tour on the scenic stage on June 14th next summer.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Chatham Town are playing in the first round of the FA Cup this weekend for the first time in 97 years. They're travelling to take on non-league Buxton. Nicola has been speaking to manager Kevin Hake.
Massive weekend coming up for you. How much are you looking forward to it, firstly?
Really looking forward to it. The whole town's really excited. I don't think there's anyone who's not really got a ticket up there. So, no, it's really, really looking forward to it, and just can't wait for it to happen now.
Give us a bit of the background for anyone who hasn't heard, because the first time in the FA Cup for, well, getting on for 100 years, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been 97 years since we got to the first round of the FA Cup. So no Chatham supporter is alive to sort of see us into the first round. So, no, it's really groundbreaking, you know, what we've all achieved here. But hopefully it's not the end of the journey just yet.
And how has your progress to this point of the competition gone so far? Everyone talks about the magic of the Cup, because the FA Cup really does have something special, doesn't it?
Oh, without a doubt, it's the greatest cup competition in the world. And to be a part of it is something you want to be part of as a player, as a manager, as a supporter. There's a certain magic about it. And we've had a few games which have been a bit closer, you know, but to get us to this point, it's just it's unbelievable.
And talk about your opposition on Saturday. How much do you know about them, and what are you expecting at the weekend?
Yeah, they're going to be a very good fluid movement team. We've had them scouted a number of times, so we know what they're going to be all about. It's going to be a tough game, but, you know, we're going to give it our best and have a real go. We've had two promotions in sort of recent seasons, so it's really progressing well on the men's side, on the women's side as well. We've had really good cup success, won three cups last year. Got over 120 in our academy, 500 sort of in our youth. So the club's really growing, and attendances just seem to be growing week on week. I think we're going to be taking over 500 people to Buxton, which is unheard of. And I think there's a lot of EFL clubs who'd like to take that to away games. I appreciate it's the magic of the FA Cup that's taken them there. But look, hopefully we won't have to wait another 97 years to get there.
I was going to say, that's still huge dedication though, isn't it? To make a journey like that. I mean, you don't always know what the weather's going to be like at this time of year. I mean, that it must really give the players a huge boost when they know they've got that much support.
Oh, it certainly will do. And Chatham, Medway people, we're not the quietest either. So I'm hopefully they'll certainly make their presence known in the stadium, which is good.
I'm sure they will. Were you kind of hoping to have got a home draw, though? I mean, that would have been the ideal, wouldn't it?
I think it would, but we haven't really been gifted with many away days, you know. So I think this long distance one, hopefully, as I say, we won't have to wait another 97 years, you know, and hopefully, who knows, it might not be the end of the journey. And the second round, we can attract a nice home draw.
Well, absolutely. Of course, we have seen Kent teams in recent history do very, very, very well in this competition. Are you hoping that perhaps you could be the ones to do that this year?
Let's hope so. I mean, there's still a few Kent teams left in it. So let's hopefully we can all go as far as we can. And who knows, we may meet each other along the way.
That would be nice, wouldn't it? A local derby, whether that be Ebbsfleet or Gillingham. I mean, that would be quite tasty, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no, it would be. It would be a really really good, and I'm sure it'd sell out whatever ground it was at.
Ebbsfleet are also in FA Cup action. They're away at Grimsby Town. Gillingham are against Newport County. That's all from us today and for the week. Thank you ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.